In the beginning, God. In the beginning, God. In the beginning, God. In the beginning, God. I wish I had a voice like James Earl Jones. You know, that really deep, in the beginning, God. Or maybe I should bring back that great Southern preacher, Reverend Telly. In the beginning, God. Well, there are a lot of ways to say it, but it doesn't change the fact that the entire Bible, the entire basis of our faith, is captured in the first words of our Bible, in the beginning, God. Have you ever put much thought into the meaning of these words? The meaning of these words are the meaning of our very existence. In the beginning, God. Now, the beginning is not referring to God's beginning. It means our beginning. So in our beginning, there was God. God declares in Revelations 1:8, I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. He is the one who is and who was and who is to come, the beginning and the end. You see, our God is eternal. And it wasn't just God, it was the Trinity from the beginning. Paul writes in Colossians, the Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body of the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. And we read several times in other scriptures that Jesus was at creation. John writes that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. And to complete the trifecta, we see the Holy Spirit was also present at the creation. It says, now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. So our God, the Holy Trinity, the great Creator, the great I Am, has always been. It is crucial to understand that God is who He says He is. It is critical to our belief in salvation and our belief of Christ's second coming. We have to accept by faith that God is greater than we can comprehend. I can't fully explain everything about God. I can't explain everything about creation, the Bible, salvation, or Christ's second coming. But I also can't explain everything about gravity, but I sure know it's there. I remember watching each of the boys repeat almost the same event at their grandma's house around the age of 3. They discovered it was fun to jump off the stairs at her house up to the landing. And they started leaping off from just the bottom stair. Then they would climb up to the second stair and make a bigger leap. And then they climbed to the third. And then they climbed to the fourth. And Emerson, I think, was the bravest of the 3, as he was headed for the 5th step when I jumped up quickly. And I had to put a stop to the jumping before he learned a very hard lesson about gravity. Emerson and the other boys had to have faith that I knew more than they did about gravity. I may not be a physics professor, but I live according to the laws of gravity, and I respect what happens when we try to defy the laws of gravity. And as their dad, it was my job to teach them to live according to the laws of gravity. Dealing with God is kind of the same. We may not fully understand everything about God, but we know enough to know He is real and that we still need to live by God's rules, and we need to teach our children to live by God's rules. And you don't have to completely understand Him to know He's real. When it comes to the beginning and the creation story, I often wonder, why do we get so wrapped up about it? Because we argue whether it's science versus creation. Is the earth 10 billion years old, 10,000 years old, 5,000 years old? What about evolution or dinosaurs? Was there a big bang? Did God create the big bang? Is God really an ancient alien? Did 6 days mean 6,000 years or 6 million years in God's time? And we can come up with a million questions about creation. And I think a lot of them could be resolved if we simply had faith that God is who God says He is. The New Testament is full of additional scriptures that support God as the Creator. Hebrews chapter 11. Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. The author here in Hebrews says that faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. Faith is confidence. Do you have confidence? Do you have confidence that the universe was formed at God's command? We may not see it. We may not understand it. We may question it. Why do scientists say it's a billion years old if that's all about evolution and it's all about this? It was all about meteors. It was all about that. But the author of Hebrews says God formed it at His command. And we may not understand why it seems to be what it seems to be, but we have to have faith that that's what it is. From Genesis to Revelation, from the Old Testament to the New Testament, we see that God is our Creator. And I find it amazing how God created us in His image. God wanted us to have His quality, and God's desire was for us to follow in His image. God's desire is for us to strive to be like Him. We were made different from all other creatures. We were made with a unique feature, the ability to choose love from hate and to choose right from wrong. For just as you can't have light without darkness or good without evil, you can't have love if there isn't a chance for the absence of love. Do you get that? You really know what love is when you don't have it, don't you? Or you really know what love is when you've never experienced and find it for the first time. You see that difference. For you see, we are the pinnacle of God's creation. We are the highest form. We are given dominion over creation. We were created to serve God, to be in His presence, and to love and to be loved by the Creator. Throughout the Bible, we see this gracious and loving God who has promised that if we put God first and if we serve Him with all that we have, He has promised to be our God. He has promised to meet our needs. And it is through this promise that His love is demonstrated for us. God loves us. Even when we fall, God's love is there. God's grace is always there. And even after falling from grace, God shows grace to Adam and Eve. He doesn't abandon them. God shows grace to Noah, to Abraham, to Joseph and his brothers, to Moses and the Israelites, and on through Jesus Christ, and even to us. The creation story is more than just the beginning of the world. The creation story is more than the beginning of the human race. Because in the beginning, God loved. In the beginning, God loved. It's beyond my comprehension. And if you think about it, it's actually a pretty bizarre tale that a perfect God would create an imperfect being and love it so much that he would tolerate thousands of years of sin and disobedience, only to send a part of himself to suffer the penalty of sin. And then to continue to tolerate thousands of years of more sin and disobedience, but all the while offering his grace. Why would God offer us a second chance to join him for eternity? Love is the only explanation. Love itself is an enigma. Love is a force even more inexplicable than gravity. I love my wife and I love my children in ways I cannot explain. And if we cannot explain love among one another, then how can we even explain the force of love from God? And the answer is we can't. It is just as the author of Hebrews put it, it is by faith we understand. And I want to add this, it's not just by faith that we understand it, it is by faith that we experience it. God's love is always there, but it is only by faith that we can experience it. The creation story wasn't written to become the basis of science. And I hope you get that. Because there's a lot of people who want to argue about that. You go down to the creation story, I've seen Christians walk through and gaff and laugh at their explanations. Some of them are hard to say, well, maybe, maybe not, I don't know. But we have to understand that the story that is written in Genesis wasn't to become the basis of science. It wasn't written for the purpose of explaining where the fossils came from. It wasn't written to explain where dinosaurs came from. It wasn't written to explain the Ice Age or not the Ice Age or whatever. It was written to demonstrate who God is and about our relationship to him as our creator. And the sooner that we figure that one out, the sooner we can have faith and the sooner we can experience God's love. Because that's why we are here. We are here to experience God's love. We are here to grow closer to our creator. We are here to know his son, Jesus Christ, who gives us salvation. And through our faith and through the love that we experience, we are to share this love and share this story of love with all others so that they too can experience God's love. And you don't have to turn on the news for about 30 seconds to say, that guy needs some love. That woman need some love. We have people hurting everywhere. People willing to risk their life to travel thousands of miles to have a better place to live. We have people who are homeless, surviving frigid, awful temperatures. We have women so troubled over the pregnancies, they don't know what to do. We have marriages that are just barely holding on. We have people dealing with drugs and addictions of all kinds. We can point out the opiate crisis, but we forget about the pornography crisis. We forget about gambling crisis. People who are trapped in worlds they can't get out of. People who live in dark places. People who need the light and the love of God. And in our creation story, we find a God of love. Yes, creation was 6 days. And yes, God rested. And we can go on sermon after sermon after sermon, and we can pick all of that apart. But what we need to know is that in the beginning, God loved. And God continues to love. Our God wants to redeem us. Each of us are created equal. It doesn't matter where we come from. It doesn't matter what ancestry DNA says about us. It doesn't matter if we were rich or poor. It doesn't matter if we were raised in the church or not raised in the church. It doesn't matter what faith we were brought up in. We are born equal because God equally loves all of us. Yet our sin equally separates us from God. And whether you think your sin is this big and somebody else's is that big, the separation is equal. We like to measure out sin, don't we? We like to point fingers at, well, at least I'm not that person. But anything that separates us from God separates us from God. It's just like that wall. If you're on the outside, you're on the outside. It doesn't matter if you're 10 feet back or 100 feet back. You're still on the outside, aren't you? But we have a God that loved us so much, willing to send a part of himself in the form of his son, Jesus Christ, who came to this earth to let us know what God's law was meant to do. It was to bring us closer to God. It was to bring us into right relationship with God. But as we know, laws don't change people, does it? And he said, I'm providing a new way as I promised all along. As I promised through Noah, as I promised through Abraham. As I promised through David and Solomon and all of the prophets. And I'm sending you my son, Jesus Christ. Because I want not only the sons of Abraham, but I want the entire world to have an opportunity to be my children. And his son, Jesus Christ, came and lived the example for us to live. And he sat with his disciples and gave thanks to God. And he broke bread, knowing the next day his body would be broken. Knowing that his life would be taken. Just because God loves. And likewise, he took the cup. And after blessing it, he said, this represents the blood of the new covenant. Jesus Christ said, my blood is enough to redeem you. And you can be redeemed today. For these elements start off as bread and grape juice. But through the power of the Holy Spirit, these can become so much more than bread and juice. They can become for you the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. And you can come here and accept his grace, his forgiveness, and his mercy, and know that your sin has been forgiven, and you can draw closer to our God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for being the mighty creator that you are. And your ways all still remain a mystery to us. How you work, how your Holy Spirit works is beyond my comprehension. But I have faith, Lord, that you are real and that your Holy Spirit moves and works among us. I have seen your mighty hand do many great things in the lives of people. I have seen you intervene in ways that no one else can explain. I have seen you heal people, not just physically, but I've seen you change people spiritually. And Lord, we all need spiritual adjustment. And Lord, right now we come to you And we take a moment of silence to offer you our confessions. Lord, today we give to you the things that separate us from you. Heavenly Father, your holy word tells us that you are a forgiving God. And whether it is the psalmist David that tells us that when we are forgiven, our sins are as gone as far as the east is from the west, or whether it is the apostle John who tells us that you are faithful and just to forgive us each and every time that we come to you. Lord, we ask for your presence to move among us today. Lord, we thank you for your forgiveness. In the name of Jesus Christ, we have been forgiven. Lord, we ask your blessing on these elements for us today, that they became more, that they do become more to us than just bread and juice, that it truly becomes the body of Christ, so that we, as we consume it, may become the body of Christ as your church, redeemed by this blood. May it change our hearts forever, knowing that in the beginning you loved. Amen. Let us go forth from here and let us share the good news of our great God, our redeeming Savior, Jesus Christ, and the transforming power of his Holy Spirit. Let us go as God's people and always in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.